Lord, we're just thank you again for another good night tonight. We praise you for such a wonderful day we had today, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that it's just going to be a wonderful night tonight. I just believe it by faith. I believe it. I believe everybody's going to have a good time. We're going to just relax out with you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we can do that with you. We can just kick back with our Lord because we know he's in charge. We don't have to worry about nothing. We do sometimes, but we don't have to. We just have to stay in the rest. And that will increase our Jesus factor, our spiritual factor, tremendously when we do that. Father, I just thank you that you are putting all of us into that hundredfold obedience, so to speak. And Father, we just praise you for the work you're doing in all of us. Increase our love, Lord, for you and for each other. Change our heart, Lord, into your heart. Because that's what we need more than anything. We need your heart in our heart. Help us get rid of this old fleshly life, this old carnal life that we were born with and most of us grew up with. Lord, I thank you for doing that. I ask, Lord, that if there's prayers given out tonight, that every one of them be answered in the name of Jesus. And I know that's going to happen too, because you said, when two or more are gathered in my name, there's where you are, Lord. I know you're here with us tonight. And I know the brethren out there do too, Lord. Satan doesn't have a chance with this group. He don't have a chance, Lord, because they know when we pray, it's going to be answered. And Satan, we have an open heaven. Satan can't shut it. The only thing that can shut it is us, and we ain't going to. And Lord, we thank you for that. We just praise your mighty name, Lord. You're worthy of our praise. You're very worthy of our praise, Lord. I thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome time, Lord, because your presence is going to be near to all of us. And I praise you, Lord, for your work. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. All right, anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, Matt.
Yeah, I do. There was a lady that I used to work with, and her sister still works at the place I work at, and I asked her how she was doing, and apparently she's not doing good. She was clean from addiction for a few years, and she fell back in because of certain circumstances. So I just want to pray for her. So, Lord, I lift up Angela to you, Lord, that you would deliver her out of this situation that she's in, Lord, and deliver her from the addiction, from the drugs, and from fear of man, Lord, and rejection as well. Thank you, Lord, that you're working mightily in her life, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, George, go ahead, brother.
I got a half-sister down in Georgia who is clean for the last few months herself, but she's lost her small children to the state unless, well, she's really seeking the Lord, and she's just got a little bit of a mountain to climb as far as renewing her mind, and just needs a lot of help basically growing up. And I need a little bit of clarity also on how I'm to help her, and with those kids, how we're to get involved. There could be, you know, could be adding to our own family if it came down to it. So, you know, I really want to see God in it more than anything. And I trust that he's definitely in it. And I'm ministering to her, and she's getting life and rejecting a whole world of darkness. So, you know, I believe that as a sanctifying influence and showing her faith, that she's going to be able to reach a lot of people that I couldn't possibly reach. So pretty happy about that. And I'm just asking y'all to agree and add your faith to mine to see some really wonderful things come out of this. Her name is Shelley.
Okay. Well, Father, we lift up Shelley to you, and we thank you for the work you're doing in her, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you spare her kids for her. Lord, I know that you can do a miracle. And Lord, I don't know where her heart is. George says she's coming back to you. And I just ask, Lord, that you clamp on to her and pull her in a mighty way, Lord. Bring her in to where she can feel your presence and know that you're working in her life, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have come against that spirit of addiction upon Shelley, and taking it out of her, Lord. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for showing mercy upon her and giving her lots of grace, Lord, to bring her in to where she can help other people after she gets herself straightened up. And I praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that we're going to see a mighty turnaround here for Shelley. And not only that, because of your goodness, Lord, to her, that at some point when she can handle the kids, that the kids come back to her, and they'll not forget the good times that they had with her. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Danny, what is that fire out there outside the window there behind you? Huh?
No, just a light coming in the window, I think.
That looks like a fire.
Does it really?
Yeah. Pardon there.
The phone's glaring to the window. Yeah, no.
Well, now, it's the Lord.
No fire.
No fire? Okay. It looks like a big torch behind you.
Oh. Well, yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Lord, that inspires me. Praise you. Now I want to pray some more. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I lift up Blake to you. Lord, you know what we prayed. All of us have prayed and asked you to do, and I'm just thanking you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in it. I'm thanking you, Lord, that you're going to bring him in a solid way, and getting rid of all the lies, getting rid of all the manipulations, And I thank you, Father, that you brought him into this kingdom. And since you're going to do it, Lord, I ask that you cleanse him, bring him in, humble him, take the pride out, take the I can do it attitude out of him, and take any kind of rejection out of him. I thank you, Lord. I know you're doing that. In Jesus' name. And Lord, all the things that he knows that he's doing wrong, Father, I just ask that you magnify those things in his head in a mighty way, that he'd be humbled and ask forgiveness for all the things that he's done wrong. And Father, I praise you for that. I know he talks a good talk, Lord, but the walk is not there, and you know that. And I'm asking you, Lord, to bring him to the point to where he'll bear the fruit that you want out of him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Joe. JD.
That's right. That's right. Well, I got a prayer request here. I kind of see a theme in the last couple, you know, just people with major bondages and demonic strongholds in their life. I've got a, you know, since this is the Lord kind of putting them on my heart, I've got a coworker named Tim, and there's some major bondage there. I mean, since the beginning, I think it was more, you know, God, I mean, he puts those certain people in our lives, you know, dealing with the flesh, and to kind of root out those things in us. And like I've said before, I mean, practically now, I mean, every person I've been around on my shift, you know, I mean, I could see something I struggled with in the past, or I could see what I used to be like, you know, God's kind of showing me that. But then again, of course, you know, a lot of it is to just deal with those things in me still. But with him, there's some major, he was talking today, you know, and he's acted like this before. I mean, he deals with schizophrenia, you know, and I've been open with him. I said, yeah, I mean, I used to deal with it. You know, today I think I was just totally honest with him. I struggle with being long suffering and just, you know, gentle with him, because I mean, knowing how much torment, you know, and just bondage he's under, I was just like, Jesus, you know, he set me free from it. That's the only thing that's going to set you free from it, because he's been convinced that, you know, it's a mental illness, you know, as the psychiatrist, or, you know, his doctor told him. And I just basically, I mean, I've just been forthright, you know, open with him. I said, you know, it is demonic, you know, and Jesus set me free from it. You know, I no longer struggle with it. And also, he deals with alcoholism. You know, I think that's one thing I've said before there. I remember the Holy Spirit told me, I mean, just one of the clearest times I remember, he told me there's a major alcoholic stronghold there where I work. And I think in that area of town, you know, I mean, there's a lot of alcoholism, you know, and I see with him, it affects like everyday activities with him. You know, we all drive forklifts, and it's very dangerous at times, very dangerous. So I think with him, pray for me that I could, you know, I mean, how to deal with him. And I think even something recently came up that he has two other brothers. I believe they're all triplets is what I want to think he said. So I don't know if there was any complications at birth. You know, I mean, every time I've always dealt with him, I don't sense he's there mentally, you know, very sharp and individual. Sometimes he just said stuff and you're thinking, okay, you know, I don't think he understands just what he's saying. You know, he lacks self-control. So there's something there I'm not familiar with, but I pray for me, you know, just, I need some wisdom and discernment on how to deal with him. But, you know, like I said, this is the Lord. I also believe using him to deal with me. Dealing with what's, you know, in me. I mean, making me patient, or causing the Lord to, yeah, give me patience, you know, cause me to be long-suffering and just loving towards people who just, you know, really are so bound up. You know, so very, very bound up, you know, with these certain kind of strongholds. I think that's a major part. But I could use some wisdom and discernment. I think anymore, I'm at such a loss on how to deal with them. You know, I mean, he'll say things, and I just want to be totally blunt and forthright. But then again, you know, that's not always the best thing to do with people like that. He could be genuine, or maybe he's just, I don't know. I have to wonder if he's just saying that for attention, you know, or whatever. So you know, I could use some prayer in that area myself.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up Joe to you, and we thank you, Lord, that you're going to give him discernment and wisdom and the words to say to this other brother that he's talking about here, Lord. If that other brother is not born again, Lord, we ask that you give Joe the words to tell him, say, hey, look, repent and believe. I'll get rid of it. And, Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you are going to utilize this other guy to bring patience into Joe's life as you've already started, and we praise you for it, Father. We thank you for the people that are around Joe that are teaching him long suffering and patience and things like that. But Lord, we also know that most of the time we just need to just be quiet and watch how you can work and pray for these people. And if they ask a question, sure, we'll try to answer it in a biblical way. And Father, we thank you for wisdom in that area for Joe.
Yes,
in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. And that's what most of us need to do is just, you know, just let them talk. Let them get it out. And once you figure out what they want, and then you can have ask the Lord for immediate wisdom and how to deal with it, you know.
Yep.
And he'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. Hey, Missy.
Amen. All right. Amen. Thank you, brother.
All righty. Okay. Anyone else? Can we pray? Yeah, Dave. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, I was going to say the last month or so, just before I got off, when I'm on vacation, that was kind of nice. When I had contacted that the CRUD stuff from the chemtrail stuff through my wife, I got that, and it just kind of wore me down. And then all of a sudden, the minute that came on, we were just pushed with a lot of work because there were fewer people, and all of a sudden, I'm stuck working 7 day weeks, 10, 12 hour days, eight. And I was finding myself getting very impatient and not very tolerant. You know, I wasn't saying anything, but it was inside me. It was brewing the whole time, you know, trying to cast it down. But still, I could see that critical, factious spirit trying to rise up inside of me. And I wasn't real patient inside. I wasn't very patient with life sometimes. And I'm just confessing this because I thought I should probably say that. My wife had had a pretty decent situation where she was working with a company that she was basically contracted with them. And they just set up all of her schedule appointments. All she had to do is show up and do her counseling and then walk away. And it was really a pretty nice deal. But also because my wife still has somewhat of a religious spirit in her, and she hasn't come out from among them yet. She still has a little bit of a factiousness in her sometimes. And because she's been in doing her job for so long, she's very competent. So she's not, she can be sharp mouthed too, I think. And that's what got her in trouble where she was working, because the person that was actually starting this company up really didn't want, she wanted to be the one in charge. My wife kind of had a little more knowledge than she did on things, and she didn't like that. And I don't know what this, you know, sometimes women don't really go well together. And so after about 2 years, they just let her go. Just know where, hey, I'm tired of being here, Cole. I just don't want you around anymore. It's not like she was doing a bad job. It just, there was conflict there. And my wife didn't even see it. But the woman that is running the company just felt threatened about it all, I guess. So that was wearing on me, thinking, oh, now we're getting my wife starting all over again. You know, here I'm doing all the work, trying to keep things going and keep a couple kids in college and, you know, keep them on straight and narrow. All that stuff was building on me. And so that was just kind of working on me pretty hard last month or two. So I wanted just to say that was really pressing me a lot. Confess my sin for not being patient, for for getting trapped up in this stuff, in this worldly stuff, which I hate being pulled into it, but it's like I had no choice. had to take care of things. So that, I just wanted to say that. I'm doing better. I'm studying, but I'm still confessing and casting things down, you know, and not receiving them, trying to get, you know, get back where I thought I was at one time.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Wade.
I have somebody that drives me around when I need transportation, and he's always he thinks more highly of himself than he ought. He used to be a lawyer, and well, anyways, I don't know what to do with him other than to continue praying that God would reveal that to him is wrong. He asked me Bible questions at times, things that I've done just to look it up. But he came over today and borrowed some money, which he's never done before. This is the first time. And I'm not sure what my responsibility toward him is. He's not born again, but he is seeking the Lord. So I'm trying to, much as I can, present the gospel, being, you know, non-Catholic, you know, material to him as I can. Anyways, he really needs prayer concerning. He came over, he had angina today. When he got to my house, he suddenly had angina. He says that it happens often that way. I think it's because I make him look at himself. And he doesn't like that, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Anyways, I need prayer for him, that God would reveal to him that it's not proper to think more highly of yourself than you ought. Constantly bragging that he knows so many languages. And he just knows of them. He doesn't know. But anyways, I would like to pray for him. His name is Steve.
Okay. All right.
Steve Bradley.
Yeah. And you say he's a lawyer?
He used to be a lawyer. He still is a lawyer, but he doesn't practice law.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has a problem with the Bar Association or what it is. But he had some trouble with his feelings as a lawyer.
Okay. Okay. Well, Father, we just thank you for Steve and Bradley. We ask, Lord, that you grant repentance to him and humble him and show him that who he is and how you see him, Lord, in a dream, in a vision, whatever. And I ask, Father, that you put the fear of God on him. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give Wade wisdom.
Yes, sir.
And the words to say whenever it's time to give him the gospel message. And Lord, you know, and I ask that you prompt Wade when the time comes for him to lead him into the kingdom. And Father, we thank you for that, because we know when he comes into the kingdom, Lord, that he has all the blessings available to him. He doesn't have to go around borrowing money from folks. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But you know what the word says about somebody coming around and asking for money, don't you? Amen. He says to give it to him and not ask for it back if they need it. Sometimes it hurts, but God's doing something. God's working in us.
Yes, I'm aware. We're to give.
Amen. Okay, anybody else got a prayer request? Testimony. How about a testimony? Can y'all see that fire between Debbie and Denny there? Yeah.
It's the Holy Spirit.
Is that the burning bush back there?
I don't know. Go ahead, Missy.
Yes. Jesus. It is Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I do Jesus. Have a prayer request. My sister-in-law has had appendicitis up in Illinois. She's a believer, a strong believer. She'll be coming down here pretty soon to visit. But I just want to pray for her. So
okay, go ahead.
We just thank you, God, for just heal her up, Lord, and quicken that. Her name is Helen. It was my twin brother, Danny's wife. And Danny's with the Lord now, but Helen's still with us. And so we just heal her up, Lord. Quicken that healing. She knows to go to you and look to you for healing and health. And so we thank you. Just bring her comfort and quicken this healing to her. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Helen. When's she coming down?
Well, she's tried to a couple times to fit into her schedule, work schedule, but it hasn't yet. But I did talk to her daughter just the other day, and she said they're still working on it. They want to get down here, so it'll be good to have her down. So
okay. Praise God. I'll be glad to see you. Go ahead, Missy.
Hey, Denny and Debbie, do you have a ceiling fan in your room? I think that's a ceiling fan Michael's seeing in the window. Is that what's? Do you have a ceiling fan going in your room that you're in?
Don't rain on my parade. What's the matter with you, Missy? Quit doing that.
Am I right?
I'm thinking it's the Holy Spirit back there.
Well, that too. Air, breath, wind, whatever. But anyway, that isn't why I wanted. That's all of a sudden I was looking. I'm like, that looks like a ceiling fan reflection going in
it
there.
It is. Yep, that's what it is.
I just wanted to pray for my daughter-in-law, Brooke. She got a permanent. It's a long-term, temporary subbing position to take over for a teacher who is going to have a baby next month. Anyway, so, you know, she only subbed for a year, so this is great that she got this long-term temp sub position. And she told me that today, actually this evening, I think, is the open house, I guess, where the students and parents go in and she meets them for the first time. And then the first day of school is the 20th, which is really early because when my boys went to that school district, and even when Brooke did too, the years that she went, they always started the Wednesday before Labor Day. So this is really early for them. I don't know if they've been doing that real long or whatever. But anyway, I just wanted to pray for her. she had texted me the other day and was just filling me in. And I told her, I said, pray for your students. She says, I will. Anyway, so I'd like to pray for her. So, Father, I just I thank you so much for answering Brooke's prayers for a job, Lord, and a good job this early on in her career. And, Lord, she does want to stay home, Lord. But she does have school loans that she needs to pay off, Lord. And so I just ask you to bless her, Lord. Draw her closer to you than ever before and help her to lean on you and depend on you in doing this job. And just fill her heart up with love for her students. And may she be a bright, shining light to them, Lord. And just be the best teacher that she can be in you, depending on you, Lord. And I just ask you, Lord, to make it so that she can, as soon as possible, stay at home and be a mom like she really wants to be, Lord. She has this career, but her heart is more into starting a family. So I just thank you, Lord, for making those arrangements. And I know, Lord, there's things coming soon, too, that may take that totally out of everybody's hands. There's probably a lot of people that won't be working. Then you'll be their provider, and which you already are. But a lot of people are going to really have to depend on you, Lord. And I just thank you for showing Kurt and Brooke that you supply their every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And I just thank you for abundantly blessing her and Kurt. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Go ahead, Tracy.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going good.
All right. Praise God. I just want to give a testimony. Thank you, Jesus. This is really neat. Young girl in New York contacted me via Facebook and sent me these really, really bad pictures of abuse. And, you know, apparently she had been abused. So it was really neat. We had called over and prayed for her. And while we were praying, the Lord actually cracked her bones back into place. It was the coolest thing ever. So it was really neat. And I mean, it was real. She was screaming, but you know, afterwards, Lord had put everything back where it was supposed to go and grew her legs out too. She had one short leg. So praise God. Keep her in prayer though. I'm trying to remember. I think her name's Lindsay in New York. She's going through that. And she's now going through the court system and all that to be free from the abuser. So I just want to pray for her real quick. That's okay.
Yes, so, go ahead.
All right. Father, we just thank you for this young girl, Lord. You know who this is in New York. Father, we just pray that you would have your will in her life, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for her healing. How awesome, Lord. Thank you that it boosted her faith. She's never seen anything like that, Lord, and only you could do that. We give you all the glory. And I pray that you would heal her emotionally as well, God. In Jesus' name, Father, thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Lindsay's life. Take all that hurt out of her, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to keep praying for her.
Amen. Thank you.
All right, anyone else? Yeah, Dave, go ahead, brother.
I'll give a quick prayer for my brother-in-law. I'll tell the story real quick that I just heard about this today. About 12 years ago, he had a couple root canals done, and I guess he was in his seat for such a long time back then that the doctor was having a hard time getting it all out. There was something, there was just parts of roots he couldn't get at. And the doctor finally said, hey, listen, I don't think these are going to be a problem. You and I have both been here a long time already. I think you're getting a little tired, so am I. If you want, I think it'll be fine. We'll just let it go and monitor it. Things should be okay. They both agreed. And so, but recently, though, I guess they found some infection in his jaw. And so they determined it was from the root canal that they didn't get out all the way back then. So they had to go back in and clean all that out and then get the rest of the root canals out still recently. And they were able to do that. And they had him on drugs, you know, just to keep him from having any pain. So the next day, and they told him just to eat, you know, soft stuff, nothing really hard for a while till it heals. Well, he thought, well, the next day he thought he maybe could just have a little piece of bacon. And he went to chew on it and heard a pop. You know, well, that's strange. But he kept on eating because he was on these drugs. He didn't feel anything. But that was about 2 weeks ago. So a week later, they ran out. Last week, they ran out to visit their son in Denver. And they started having pain, of course. And his son had some Tylenol 3, and he was letting them use that until he came back here. And they did x-rays. Well, he broke his jaw when he chewed on that bacon. So now he's got to, they gave him a choice. He can wire his jaw shut for 6 to 8 weeks, or they could just deal with the pain and just eat all liquids basically and hardly any chewing, or they can, he can still do the light chewing and also just have some kind of a thing he sleeps with at night so that he doesn't move his jaw. So he opted for that. So I guess what I'm going to do is, and I'm not, he's, you know, from mainline denominational Christianity, so they don't have this faith for healing. But I'll pray for the healing, but I'll also take just relief and quick healing too at that. Because he's, you know, 67, well, 68, so older guy now, a little older. So, Father, you know, Carl's situation, I bring it up to you. And I know you're using this maybe to draw them closer to you and pray for relief and get in. Lord, I've been talking to him about getting into the Word and studying it. And so maybe this is a time that he will start looking for you and searching you out. And if I have a chance to witness to him about divine healing, I will. But for right now, I'm going to stand in the gap and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we'd like to come together and pray and command that jaw to be healed in the name of Jesus, to come in alignment with the Word, the pain to go away, and for him to understand that this is the benefits we have in the kingdom and be brought, this bring glory to you and to him, and just shock people in the Lutheran church, like, oh my God, there's a God that heals. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, I thank you for doing that for Carl. And Lord, let it be a lesson to him that you're still the God of yesterday, today, and forever. Praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I ask that you get him out of that, separate him from that apostate church religion that don't believe you still have power. Somehow or another, you just don't give power out no more. But Lord, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
I had a chance to witness to a guy the other day, a little bit. It's a young man. He worked for the company who deals with, you know, investments and stuff. But, and we got talking. I got to know him over a period of time. Kind of like the guy. He's kind of fun. He's 25. Guy reminds me a lot of me, but, you know. So, and I had a, and I realized I just, you know, had that feeling he was a Christian. So I got talking more and more about that, and was able to introduce him to UBM. I can't remember where the thought was going on this, but that was one of the things I was talking about was apostate Christianity, because I knew that's what he'd grown up with. Like all, basically anybody that says they're a Christian, that's what they have for a background. But the thing I was impressing on him was the reason why they do not see healings performed and going on in the church today is because their pastors, the people they look up to for the ones that are knowledgeable in the scriptures, they went through Bible schools. They went through, became colleges. They were trained in seminaries, whatever, but they didn't come up the way that the apostles did in the first century, way any elder did. They didn't come in through the church, become a disciple, get baptized in the Holy Spirit, find out what it is to find out more about the gifts, receive the gifts, walk in the gifts, pray over people, have them healed. They didn't see these things happen in their lives. So how can they pass on what they don't have? I said, and how can you go to a church and expect to receive something from somebody that doesn't have the gifts? I says, you're not going to see that happen. That's why you don't see these great things happening in the church today, because there's nobody there that has any of the gifts. Very few. I'm not going to cut everybody out, but very few, because they didn't come up the right way. So I explained that to this young man, and he said, oh, you know, and I showed him a few more things. So it just kind of all fell in place how I was able to share that with him. And I think we've all, to somewhat of a, at least for me, it's been quite an experience to understand and understand how this all works, because you think you have an understanding of things when you grow up in apostate Christianity. And then when you break free and come into an environment like this, you start finding out the real truth and how things are really done. Yeah, it is. It's quite eye-opening. It's quite earth-shattering for those people to leave that situation to come into this. But once you come into this, you can't understand how any of that could ever have happened in the first place. But it just goes back to Lord, when Paul was talking about when he feared that when his departure happened, that wolves would come in, dividing the flock for themselves, speaking heresies. And you know, and then you had the wolves are there, and they did this very exact thing. And now you have this big mess.
Amen. Yeah, but God fixed and straightened it out. He's fixing and straightened it all out. Okay, anyone else? Okay, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Dave, because, you know, like you said, Michael, he's fixing to straighten it out. And I think he's already, you know, I was looking at something on Facebook and just another exposure from the Catholic Church. I'm sure you guys probably heard, or some of you, you know, if you get to, if you kind of look in the different news, in Pennsylvania, there was about more than 300 priests. I think there was an investigation of some sort, you know, within the Catholic Church in that, in like several counties, but I guess it's the state of Pennsylvania, and like 1,000 victims, you know, just that knowledge was brought to the light. And of course, you know, with the priest abuse scandal, I mean, it's been going on for ages, but, you know, praise God that this was found out, you know, we found there's more. And I mean, there's plenty more. I bet. And I mean, so yeah, well, yeah, I like to just pray for that situation. I'll go ahead and pray, you know, just you want to agree. And, you know, that God would continue to expose more of this. Because, I mean, I heard some of the testimonies, and I just was like, wow. But, I mean, yeah, it's such a dark religion. You know, and I praise God he pulled me out of that church, you know, the church I grew up in. And then, you know, when I first became a believer, it's, you know, he pulled me right out of the Catholic Church. So it's good to see he's kind of doing work in those areas. So. But Father God, I just thank you for this recent exposure, Lord. I thank you that you are exposing the works of the enemy, you know, in the Catholic Church, the priest abuse, Lord, you know, and just these wicked and just these horrible acts, you know, upon children. I mean, this all happened in the past, but thank you, Lord, for, you know, shining your light in the darkness, you know, and causing the enemy to just, you know, flee. I mean, causing the enemy to be exposed in this area. And we pray, Lord, for more exposure, not just in the Catholic Church, but I mean, I'm sure it happens in the Protestant churches. You know, I've heard testimonies of pastors and elders in the church abusing children or abusing other individuals. So Lord, we just like, you know, we thank you ahead of time and what you're getting ready to do. Like, you know, Michael said, you're going to fix it, Lord. And I do believe that. I have more and more confidence as I see you work in my life and others' lives that it's absolutely nothing for you to fix this, Lord. You know, you just ask that we believe and, you know, we be obedient in our part of this whole bigger picture. But we ask that for more exposure, Lord, you know, that you would just totally rock the foundation of the Catholic Church and of the hierarchy within the Vatican. And you just begin to expose the stuff. And, you know, we thank you as well for what President Trump has been doing with all the human trafficking and the pedophilia. It's gone all the way to the Vatican. You know, we thank you, Lord, that you're doing this work. And we pray that you would continue it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, they found. Yeah, go ahead, Missy. She probably knows all about it. She lives up there by all them priests.
Okay, yeah.
I know a little bit secondhand. Merle's been telling me about it. Supposedly in the Pittsburgh area, there were 99 priests. 99 priests that, you know, have been, I don't know, investigated or something or whatever. It's crazy. but yeah, Merle was saying something about that President Trump signed an executive order because of children being brought out of the country, brought into the country, to, you know, this sex slave stuff or whatever, you know, human trafficking stuff or whatever, children being, so anyway, I guess there's like strict rules or whatever that you can't just arbitrarily bring a child in to the country now or whatever. Probably got to show some kind of proof or something from their parents or whatever, some kind of documentation, permission from parents or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, wake up, Michael.
Okay. Well, actually, it wasn't 99. It was 300 priests and priests and bishops and things. 299.
Yeah, but Pittsburgh. itself, in Pittsburgh itself, was 99.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some of them are dead now, but what they found out was the Catholic Church was hiding all the information. They would move these priests around after they got caught to another place and another area where they could do their deeds in another area. You know, that's just, it's evil. That's evil coming right out of the Vatican, as Joe said. So, Lord, I just come against all of this human trafficking and using kids in the way that they do. I ask, Lord, that you put a stop to it in this country and around the world. Whatever you have to do, Lord, I ask that you put a stop to these poor children that are being abused by these evil monsters. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And in some cases, they use them for sacrifice.
Yeah.
As well.
I think to pray also for the Jehovah Witnesses. I think they have some abuse going on too. I wouldn't be surprised, the Mormons. So all these, Lord, we have a lot of problems in these different churches. You see, and you know, they some of these people think they're calling on your name. We know they're being hoodwinked. But Lord, if they're there with an honest heart, but they're being exposed to all this evil, Lord, I ask you to expose the evil in these places so these, your people that are in there can come out from among them, get away from this, finally break free from this. I don't think you're going to reform the churches, but I think the truth has to come out so people can be totally appalled and totally just, they know they have to get out. So they know that this is, they're around Satan's den. So Lord, expose Satan and all his, everything he's doing in these churches, and with the men in charge, have it all come out in all of them, so that your people that they're going to call by your name will come out from among them and save your people, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. In the name of Jesus. Okay, anyone else? Well, all right. Has anybody got anything they want to talk about tonight? Or Matt suggested that we do praise and worship tonight. We hadn't done that in quite a long while. So I don't know. Yeah, Dave.
Did you want to finish up on, we were going to discuss a little bit more maybe on the
sure.
The star glory, moon glory, and sun glory. Did we want to touch on that a little bit or no?
No, it's 30, 60, 100-fold, right?
Yeah, it was that. But you, then we also, you said, well, there's a little more to that star glory.
Yeah, it is.
You know, if we want to touch on that a little bit.
There's actually a lot more to it, but we can get into that. That'd be fine, yeah.
Well, go ahead. Touch on that? I don't want to take away from praise and worship, though, if somebody wants to do that.
If somebody wants to do that, that's fine. Matthew, if you want to find you a good song, that'd be cool. And anybody else? But, yeah, we can go with the 30, 60, and 100 phone. go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I came prepared for that.
No. All right.
No.
Well, that's all right.
We were going to talk. We have to start there with the moon glory. We know that has to do with a saint that is, they're still all by themselves in their own little world, and they're the ones that are, they're magnified somewhat in their own self. They still have that self-glory.
A star glory, not moon glory.
Star glory, yeah, star glory, yeah. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Amen.
But that we're saying that is like a 30-fold fruit Christian. Now, is that because, I mean, I know spiritual pride. Basically, that's there. We're talking about somebody that still has spiritual pride. but apparently they must know the Lord, and they're trying to walk with the Lord. They're not trying to, I mean, they haven't overcome completely the flesh yet, because that's why they're still 30%, I would assume. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. Well, they just came into the kingdom. They don't know a whole lot. They still got a lot of self, a lot of flesh with them. They bring in a lot of that with them. And, yeah, they're out there by themselves, you know, like you said. And that's the reason why, because they haven't applied the scriptures to them yet, because they don't know them yet. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
Well, I was thinking the star glory, 30-fold fruit, is a relatively newly saved Christian. And they're coming into the knowledge of the truth and being fed. They may or may not be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I guess what I was thinking about the 30-fold is 30 represents the blood of Christ. So they are very... they're covered in the blood, but they may not be using the word to cleanse themselves so they can overcome sin. They're saved. Their sins, their ignorances, all those things are under the blood. I guess that's why I was thinking about the 30-fold. I might be wrong, but I know that 30 means blood. It stands for that symbolically.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Matt.
Also, I just kind of, actually Anna just thought of this, but 30, the number itself was usually when someone was old enough, like Jesus was 30 years old when he began to preach. So it would be a beginning of a walk, basically.
Okay. Beginning of the walk. Okay. Anybody else?
Would a 30-fold Christian have the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Could. Yeah. I know people have gotten saved, got baptized, and got baptized in the Holy Spirit all in the same time. Yeah.
I think that would make them a 60-fold. Because you got Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. That's the three realms. That's the 30, 60, and 100-fold. And 60-fold would be lines up with Pentecost. It would also be like the outer court. A Christian could be in the outer court or in the holy mm-hmm. place or in the holy of holies as far as their experience of fellowshipping with the Lord. There's just quite a few threes in scripture that point to that kind of like, a panoramic view of our walk, you know, like out of Egypt with 30-fold, through the wilderness, 60-fold, across the Jordan, into the promised land would be the 100-fold. But I had a chart one time and I had a whole bunch of those on there. I thought they were really, really interesting. And they all line up. So if a person has a born-again experience of Passover, they're 30-fold. At that point, they're 30-fold. But they can go on to be baptized in the Holy Spirit because that came on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. That would be the 60-fold realm. And then the 100-fold realm, which if you go on to the fullness of Christ or the measure of the stature of the fullness of Lord or maturity or perfection, as it's spoken of in the scriptures. A couple other ones would be with like baptized in the sea would be the 30-fold. Then baptized in the cloud for going through the wilderness would be the 60-fold. And then baptized into Jordan going into the promised land would be the 100-fold experience. There's just quite a few of them with the threes like that. And it kind of spells out the God's whole, he wants us to go all the way, but we go and there's those three stages. It seems like he does that a lot in the scriptures.
Well, let me ask a question here then. So someone that's born again and gets baptized in the baptized in the Holy Spirit is 60-fold. Now, if I'm not mistaken, 30, 60, and 100-fold is the measure of Jesus in you. Not that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, now somebody correct me if I'm wrong, not that the baptism of the Holy Spirit automatically puts you into that 60-fold realm, because I know, we know of people that aren't measuring up to 60-fold Jesus Christ that have fallen away. Okay? And if I'm not mistaken, the star, moon, and sun glory, the stars, of course, being out there by themselves, okay, because they haven't come into that knowledge yet of who they are in Christ. And then you have the moon glory, which is receiving the light from the sun and reflecting the light of the sun off of it, which is a more mature Christian. And then you have the sun glory, which is a mature person walking like Jesus. And that's, I'm trying to remember how David explained that, but that's kind of what I have now. Somebody has got something else than that, let me know. And I think that the 60-fold is a more mature Christian than someone who just came into the kingdom. Go ahead, Dave.
I would, you know, what I'd say was somewhat agree with you in this, that the 100-fold person is going to be an overcomer.
Mm-hmm.
They're at the overcomer level. Whereas the 60-fold person is still overcoming, but they have the power of God to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
The 30-fold fruit person, I think they're still, they're in the kingdom, but it doesn't take much for them too. I mean, you got to figure they can still be drawn into their lusts to a degree. Not entirely. They're going to be given over their lusts, but they still have some lust issues there, or something that is still probably they're battling very hard with. Whereas a 60-fold person, they may have battles, but their battles are more now in the realm of not because they're overcome by their lusts, it's because they're now dealing with that old man that's still alive inside that hasn't been put to death yet. They're still trying to kill that old man. They're trying to put that old man down, but they're not overcome by their lusts. They may still have sin in their life, but it doesn't mean they're a sinner. They're not outright in sin. Whereas a 30-fold person still might still have some sin there in their life they're dealing with, but they're still saved because they're God's child. God overlooks that sin. He's put them under the blood. They're coming to him by faith. God's on that person's side. But they still might have some sin issues there that they haven't overcome yet, and they haven't let go of maybe yet. But they don't want it, but they're not totally, you know, they're still partly in the world a little bit. Whereas that 60-fold person, they're kind of walking away from the world, but they still have the old man they have to deal with. They're still trying to deal with that old man and put him down. They still have some things that come up and irritate them and bother them about being not 100-fold fruit yet. The 100-fold fruit person, I'm not going to say they're walking as close as Christ, I think, that you can walk without being in heaven, but still be on the earth. They're still going to be in the flesh. They're still going to be having to deal with flesh issues, but they don't have the struggles that the 60-fold person does anymore. They've overcome so much. That's just my thoughts. Go ahead.
Okay, here's the way David put it. I just remember. the 30-fold person is the person that his spirit is saved, okay? That's a born-again person. And the 60-fold person is the one who is overcoming the soul, overcoming the flesh, overcoming the carnal man, okay? And then the 100-fold Christian is the one who has overcome the spirit, the soul, and the body as well. And when do you do that? The 100-fold person goes up at the rapture, if I remember correctly. So it's the salvation walk that we're on, as David puts it well in instance, and progressive salvation is a walk. We walk into the kingdom as star glory. And there's not, those stars aren't together. They're all separate up there in the sky. They're all separated because of, they're just coming in. They don't know anything. They don't know how to overcome. And they can fall. If you remember in Revelation, it talks about the enemy taking out a bunch of them. And then we have the moon glory. That's everybody together now, you see. That's the ones that are in one accord, that have overcome the soul and are overcoming the soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And then, of course, the sun glory is when you get full manifestation of Jesus Christ in the spirit, soul, and body. Okay, go ahead, Julie. I'm sorry. I had to get that out there before I forgot it.
I know. I know that's quite all right. One of the things I remember David teaching, too, about the star and moon glory is that stars, like Michael just said, they have their own glory. Stars have their own glory.
Mm-hmm.
And the moon is actually, the moon's a dead star. And all it does is reflect the light of the sun. And so that's you're overcoming the soulish, you're overcoming the soulish nature. And I think the other thing I was thinking about, the numbers 30, 60, 60 represents pride. And there's no pride in, you know, the unity of the body of the bride. And there's unity, it's oneness, it's one, it's just one moon. And so it's just one body, in which of course is going to be the church as well. There's one body of Christ. But it's dead. It's dead to itself. It's dead to the old man is dead. You're walking in the faith that you're dead, and you're overcoming sin in your life. And I remember David saying something about is you're going from your, you know, after your, you know, your from 60 to 100-fold, you're continuing to grow. So it's like you're coming into, you're growing into, in your walk, like Michael is saying, into 100-fold fruit, manifesting, you know, all of Christ, and just in continuing to mature. He's maturing you as you continue to use the word against your flesh and sin, and coming to more knowledge and understanding of who you are in Christ. And he's doing all those works, of course, in us. And then I was thinking, the Lord had me, I was thinking about going back to how the stars and the moon, the sun, they're in the heavenlies. And then he brought me back to Genesis chapter 1, if you would allow me to read. This is what the Lord put on my heart to
go for,
to think about today too. Okay. And Genesis 1 and chapter 14, or excuse me, chapter 1, verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, and for days and years, and let them be lights in the firmaments of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, and the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, a fourth day. And then the Lord was reminding me how he told Abram that his seed would be as the stars of the heavens and as the sand of the seashore. And, you know, God's children, you know, are, you know, we start out, like you said, as stars. And we learn to start walking in our authority that God's given us to rule over the night. And that the stars and the moon, there are some stars, you know, in the morning you can see, like you can still see it when the sun starts to come up. But you see the stars and you see the moon at night when it's dark. And as we are, our glories are seen in the heavenlies, our glories, the glories that we're coming into, they're seen in the heavenlies. Is, you know, the Lord made it known unto the powers and principalities, you know, to the heirs of the kingdom. You know, and how I just was reflecting on that, just being us, you know, we're seeds of Abraham, and we start out in that glory of self-righteousness and pride and all those things that God has to remove from us. And as it gets darker, our lights are going to shine brighter. And we just continue to grow from glory to glory by faith in what Jesus did for us and what he gave us.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
When Julie was speaking, it put a voice, a recall of a certain scripture. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day by day uttereth speech, and night by night showeth knowledge. So just as when the day breaks, you can see the blue sky and how the light permeates through everything, you know, even just a little bit of light coming through the window can light up the whole room. And of course, the night sky shows the moon and the stars where there's knowledge also in that light, which is also a light that's in your temple. And as it's burning brighter, you get more light from the moon than you do from the stars. Then the night light shows through in the knowledge. Anyways, I think that's in Psalms 119. I'm not sure.
Anyway. Okay. All right. Anyone else?
I think it's Psalm 19.
Is okay, Barbara.
I thought it was Psalm 19. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Tim.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I read that verse 14 in Genesis 1 earlier, like Julie did, and I missed something until she just read it again, and it's kind of another layer that's pretty interesting. And he put the stars, put the lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day and night, and let them be fine, days and years, and let them be for a light in the firmament of heaven, for the sun and the moon to be lights in the firmament of heaven, to give light upon the earth. So whatever glory we're in, we're supposed to be giving light upon the earth. There's another layer of the first part there.
Amen. Now go ahead, Nahum.
I was just going to say, I do remember David saying this made a lot of, it was pretty cool. The sun doesn't have its light, of course, we know that. It reflects, the moon doesn't have its own light. it reflects the light from the sun. So it's essentially saying the moon is dead, and the light that it's starting to reflect is the light of the sun, which is Jesus. That's the only light it's reflecting, which is, I thought that's really cool, because that's a nice place to be. But of course, sun glory is Jesus shining fully out of you. You know, that's the difference between 100 and 60. 60 is you're reflecting the sun, and 100 is the sun's reflecting out of you.
Hmm. Amen. That's a good way to put it. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Missy, go ahead. I was waiting on
you. Another example of the 30, 60, and 100, I remember David sharing is in Ezekiel 47. Verses 3 to 5. I'm going to start at 1. And he brought me back unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house was toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house, on the south of the altar. Then he went out by the way of the gate northward, and led me round by the way without outer gate, by the way of the gate that looketh the east, and out waters on the right side. Now, these are the pertinent verses here. When the man went forth eastward with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he caused me to pass through the waters that were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and caused me to pass through the waters that were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000, caused me to pass through waters that were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I passed through, for the waters were risen waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. I'm almost sure David shared this once, although I was thinking like three different. It says first, then the loins or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, it just makes me think of, you know, the water being the spirit, and just the more you're immersed in that water, the higher the water is more the spirit, more you living in the spirit. Dwelling in the spirit, and then when you can't pass through, to me that's the 100-fold, because you know you're in over your head. you're swimming in it, you know. Anyway, I don't remember what all David said about that, but I remember him using those verses before. I'm pretty sure talking about the 30, 60, and 100. So I thought that was interesting. So I don't know if anybody has more to say about that and can explain it better than I can. Go for it.
Well, you did pretty good. You did pretty good. I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to read the parable of the sower in Luke. I think it says a few things in here that we need to know. Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. Luke 8 and verse 4. And when a great multitude came together, and they of every city resorted unto him, he spake by a parable. The sower went forth to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the heaven devoured it. And others fell on the rock, and as soon as it grew, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And others fell amidst the thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. And others fell into the good ground and grew and brought forth fruit and brought forth fruit and brought forth fruit a hundredfold. As he said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him what this parable might be. And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they that have heard. Then comes the devil and takes away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. And those on the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy. These have no root, for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. That which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And now listen to this. And bring no fruit to perfection. And that in the good ground, these are such as in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast, and bring forth fruit with patience. These that bring forth the fruit unto perfection, that's the one that's going to manifest Jesus in their life. So what we're talking about here, this manifestation of perfection in Christ, this is what this parable is talking about, which is to bring fruit to perfection. What's the fruit? We all know the fruit is Jesus Christ in our life. So it's a step, three steps that the Lord is showing us. The star glory, in which some of them fall away. Some of them go on to perfection. And then the moon glory, which is 60-fold. And then the 100-fold. Even though the others were receiving the seed, were receiving the word, they didn't bring that fruit to perfection. The other three didn't. Yeah, Missy.
You know, bringing forth the fruit unto perfection, I'm thinking about, okay, you have to be at least 30 to, you know.
Absolutely.
Okay, but
can't be 29 and a half either. It's got to be 30.
Right. And what I'm thinking is, okay, bringing forth fruit unto perfection means pickable fruit, right?
It's ripe fruit. It exactly. Ain't green fruit, and it ain't rotten fruit.
Right. That's what I was thinking. You know, ripe. You know, you have to have some ripe fruit, you know?
Yeah.
Pickable fruit, you know.
That's right.
So yeah, I never thought of it that way before. But that hit me when you were reading that, and I was really thinking about it. You know, it has to be ripe. It can't be there and not be ripe. You know, because that's matured. Ripe fruit is matured, and we have to have some matured fruit. So anyway, yeah, that's just.
Amen.
I never thought of it that way before as being ripe, or I say it never really impressed me before in that way. Yeah. I wouldn't say I never thought of it that way, but maybe in the past it kind of left my mind for a while. The Lord brought it back, but yeah, the whole ripe thing. Okay.
Okay. Something else that we all need to remember is that it's the seed itself that brings forth the fruit unto perfection. What's the seed? That's the word of God. It's the word of God. It's that word of God had more power than anything, didn't it? It tells us it does. One of the points is that we got to hold on to it fast. We have to hold fast that seed, praise God, to get to that 60 and 100 fold. That's what we want. You don't want to stop at 30. How do you know you're 29 and a half, not 30, and you hadn't made it to 30 yet? A lot of people do that. They just kind of, well, if I could just get in, you know, I'd be all right. Man, just go for it. Go for it. Yeah, Missy. Go ahead.
Something else just hit me about being the ripened fruit, you know. The Lord said, I'm the light of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
He represents the sun too, you know, right? And the fruit doesn't get ripe unless it has the sun, you know, shining, the light of the sun, which, you know, the sun, S-O-N, is the word. The word was, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God, you know. The word is the sort of the spirit, you know, and the spirit is the word, you know, and it's, you can go forwards and backwards on all this, but, you know, it's, we need the light of the word, you know, and you could also say the light of the word, the revelation of the word, the real understanding of it. You know, sometimes, you know, I've heard things over and over and over and over, you know, and read things over and over and over. And then one day all of a sudden, bing, bing. the revelation of it, it just really hits me. It was before it was here and now it's here. And it's like, wow. So it's that. The light of the word is what ripens that fruit too. You know, so anyway.
Amen.
The sun.
All right. Anybody else? Yeah, George, go ahead, brother.
Just focusing on the word, they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit. And it reminded me of those in the wilderness who entered in to the promised land. The ones that could not enter in didn't mix it with faith. They had a word, but they didn't believe it, and they had to stay on that side. But the others got to go into the fruitful land. And also noticing that this good ground, the 30, 60, and 100 all came out of that same ground. And he mentions just a few verses further down how to take heed how we hear. And a lot of this is talking about how they heard the word and what measure you meet, it'll be multiplied back to you. And just thinking too about, you talk about perfection and how Paul had the testimony that he gave everything that was given to him to give. He put it out there and finished his course. He said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And it's just another one of those measures of three type things where we see, you know, completion and perfection basically in his walk. And the whole time we've been studying this, I've been thinking about that race and the measure of the world that we let go of so we can run our race. If we're holding on to too much of the world and the cares of the world, it's hard to run that race. And I can imagine, you know, being basically in the back 30 of a field trying to finish a race. But the more we drop, the we move over half the pack and we're in that 60 now. And then if we really run by the Spirit of God and lose ourselves, we're able to 100% commit and finish what God's got for us. So even if many people are good ground, perhaps the calling on their life is to produce a certain amount of fruit. And, you know, not everybody has the same calling, but that 30, that 60, that 100, they're, you know, trying to strive to at least do 100% or 100 of perfection of what God's called us to, I guess. So this whole study has really inspired me to question my own, you know, what's holding me back. And if God's given me a great imagination, how do I apply that by faith and add faith to the word? You know, it's how I listen to the word, especially the last couple of weeks. I'm paying more attention to how I hear the word. So I really appreciate everybody's thoughts on all this stuff, and thank you.
Amen. Amen. You know, we still have to, I keep going back to it. In order to mature, we have to get that word. We have to hold that word. Just like Missy said, you can read the word and read the word, and every time you read it, you've probably read the same scripture 15 times. And then that 16th time, it finally just opens up to you, and it seats down in there. Then now we're doers of the word. We're doing what the word said. We're hiding that word in us, but we're doing what it says to do. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, says, whosoever is, it says begotten, it means born. Whosoever is born of God does no sin, because his seed abides in him. We just don't, David calls it like, read the word like a hog. You know how a hog, he gobbles it up. Well, sometimes we get caught in that thing where I got to read 14 chapters today. You know, well, what good is that going? It's okay to read 14 chapters, but go back and read what you, and look and see what you read. Meditate on those scriptures that you see. But there's no sin because his seed abides in him. That's how you get it to abide in you, is to study those words and to meditate on that word and to put it in your heart. You know, when that seed abides in you, don't it bear fruit? Then it birth into a mighty man or a mighty woman of God. That's what I'm thinking. What is the seed in us? It's Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. Everybody knows that one. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. That's what it is. All right, anybody else on this 30, 60, 100-fold and star, moon, and sun glow? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Well, everyone else pretty much answered some of my other responses, or answered for me. But like we were talking about the moon, I think, you know, I remember that when I first came into the studies, you know, just of things. I mean, I didn't even really. I think I remember hearing David several times talk about this, you know, star, moon, and sun glory, and it never really dawned on me. But I think the Lord kind of he brought it to me. You know, the understanding of the stars and the moon, you know, it's one big dead rock. But as I kind of hit that, and then Julie, you basically just said that, yeah, it's just one big dead rock, pretty much, you know, floating out there, you know, in the heavenlies. And but then it, you know, kind of dawned on me after I, you know, that came to mind. But then it's like John 3:30, where John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. I mean, we understand that's dying to the flesh, you know. So when we understand 60-fold, you know, it's just like it's a believer who's understood death to self, you know. I don't know if that's so much he's already reached it or he has begun to really reach that level of putting the old man to death. You know, not letting the old man rule anymore. But yeah, you know, just like John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. So it's that whole process of death to self, you know, that kind of, you know, came to mind there. Mm-hmm. You know, and then, yeah, and then we reach sonship, we are trying to attain to that level of a hundredfold. But yeah, reaching, you know, being a son of God. You know, because I think that still hasn't really clicked with me, or I got the revelation of it, where I always thought, yeah, we are children of God. But then he says, no, we must attain. You know, David said this multiple times, I've heard in various studies, of we must become sons of God. And I thought, wait a minute, what's the difference between a child of God and the sons of God? You know, and it's a much higher calling, or a higher responsibility is what it sounds like. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody else?
I can't find it. I know it's in Hebrews, but I know that Jesus, even though, you know, our goal is to become as Jesus Christ, right? 100%. But at the same time, Jesus in the book of Hebrews is our high priest. He's not just a high priest because, well, he's a high priest, but he's compassionate. He's there. He understands our struggles. He understands our needs. He's there to help us to defend through this place. So my thought is, even though somebody's a hundredfold fruit, it doesn't take them out of the realm that they can't look down and come and help us out. You know, if you're a hundredfold fruit, that doesn't mean that's it. Oh, you're untouchable. It's like, no, you're still able to relate to everybody else that's not hundredfold, and you're able to help. So I don't want us to think that, oh, once we reach the hundredfold fruit, wow, we're at that untouchable level, nothing's going to happen. No, we're still there to be able to help anybody out. At the same level, we're still there to minister, like Jesus can minister us and come to any level. That's just my thoughts on that.
Hey, you got a big rat on your left arm, man.
Twice a week, I mean twice every other week, my son's getting married. Well, he thought that they needed a dog because she likes.
Somebody so ends up babysitting.
And so he's got sharp teeth, so I've got a glove on. So I can play with him. It's called a Pembroke Corky, and he's about, I don't know, he's not real big, about the size of a Chihuahua, and he likes to herd things, so he loves to tackle and try to negotiate, push things in place, and always run. He's really quick. We don't keep a leash on him, man. He's just gone. So, yeah, he's a handful. But, yeah, I'm counting it down. In January, he'll be married.
You need a muzzle for that thing. Amen. Go ahead, Leah.
Hey, did you say he's taco size?
Yeah, he's size of a, probably about the size of a, he's hard to get a hold of, too.
A good taco.
A Chihuahua, you know.
Leon, we can't hear you. Barely can hear you. Okay, you're muted now. Can't hear you at all. Okay.
I think you're still muted, Leon.
You're muted. You are muted. Now we can hear you. Your volume is real low on your microphone.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Now we can hear you. Yeah, generally most people wear them.
Yeah. I had them on. I could hear okay, but anyway. Okay. I wanted to say to Denny and Debbie that alien that used to be in their window did an instantaneous pyrotechnic deal and burnt up, and there's a flame in the window now. So, or maybe that's the sun glory.
Could be. He said, Debbie said it was the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Okay. Y'all, let's see. Let me see if anybody's in here. We had a little girl one time that was in one of our fellowships. Like, she couldn't have been more than 4 years old, I guess, at the time. And she told us, she said, I saw angels. She told me, she said, I saw angels in the fellowship. I said, yeah. She said, big angels. I said, how big? She said, bigger than you and Papa. I said, okay. Then she said, and I saw the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking, now how did she see the Holy Spirit? I said, what did he look like? She said, look like fire. That's what she said. She said, he looked like fire. I said, okay, Mary, that's cool. And but she told us all about the angel she saw in the fellow. This is a four-year-old kid. That was awesome. So that's what reminded me of that, Denny, is that what she said about the Holy Spirit looking like fire.
Michael, I've heard some when I was involved in a little church up in New York there. I mean, it's there was a brother, you know, he's from the Erie, Pennsylvania area, about an hour outside of Buffalo. But he was saying, I think one night we had a New Year's Eve, a couple, I think last New Year's Eve or the one before, he said he could sense the presence of angels, you know, in the place. And it was at the pastor's home that we had a, like, you know, time of fellowship, and we would we had some time of deliverance prayer for one another, but he said he could sense them. He couldn't see, but he could sense they were near. Just like, you know, I guess we could sense the Lord's presence at times. I mean, I've never heard that before. I thought, wow, huh? You know, that's interesting. Just like people seeing in the spirit realm, you know, and for those, I guess, who can't see, they can sense, you know, into the spirit realm. So he said something like that, and I thought, wow, interesting. Must be a special night or something like that like any other night, you know, they're always around us. So I don't know. This is interesting.
Well, the Lord can open up the spirit realm to anybody.
Yeah.
He can, and he does. A lot of time. Amen. Okay, anybody else? 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Christian. Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, you know, in our discussion with fruit, there's a couple of warnings in the New Testament. There's probably more than that. There's two that I come across in my notes that about not bearing any fruit at all. The first one being in this Matthew, every tree that bringeth forth not good is hewn down and cast into the fire. And another one in Jude, that autumn trees without fruit or twice dead. So, you know, it's telling us that, you know, we have to have some fruit or there's no hope at all.
Amen. And that's sad, but most of the churches out there believe that once you are born again, that's all there is to it. You've received all of Jesus you're going to receive. There's a lot of them out there that believe that. And that's why God's going to have this tribulation up here. He's going to shake that out of some of them. They're going to come to Jesus. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, that kind of comes back around to where we were at the beginning, talking about all the trafficking and all that, you know, the groups that believe in that unconditional eternal security use that as an excuse for their licentious behavior. They go, I confess God, so he'll forgive me for all this, and they don't take the time to get into the word and see all the ifs that are in here and correct themselves with it.
How come you still got sunshine? That's what I want to know. Come, you still got sunshine. It's dark as pitch outside here.
You know, as thing that Denny's got going on, I thought it was like a fountain of living water more than a fire.
Yeah. Tim's showing sun glory behind him. Go ahead, Dave.
I remember I bought a car a couple years ago, and it was got talking to the people I was buying this car from. It was for the kids. And we got talking about Christianity a little bit, and we both use the knowledge and understand that we both were spoken in tongues, which was good. So it's like, okay, and they were, all right, good deal. They were thinking, I was happy too. But then I got the impression, and I got to understand more about them. They were Pentecostal. But she was having difficulty understanding, you know, why she was still having struggles. And I ended up sending them a bunch of books after, you know, I bought the car, but I got their address. And I sent them a bunch of books, about sanctification, instant and progressive. Because there can be people out there that have that baptism of the Holy Spirit. They can speak in tongues, but the setting they're in, now this is the impression I got with the Pentecostalism. I haven't been to one, but I think I got this from David. They have just like any other denomination, they don't go real far beyond what they teach. You know, you got that baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they made sure you spoke in tongues, but then they think, well, that's good. You're in now. You know, your ticket is punched, like they're saying. And that's what his thought was with me. All right, yeah, you're good. Your ticket is punched. In a sense, I kind of got that feeling. But then she was wondering why she is still having difficulties and problems and overcome a few things. And I could see where they weren't getting even the rest of the word, where now they have that ability to walk in the word. Now it's time for them to pick up the word and walk in it and have the Holy Spirit perfect them in the image of Christ. They weren't being giving that full gospel message.
Caught me with my mouth full. Yeah. Okay. Praise God. All right, anybody else?
Just one real question again. So 30-fold fruit, they can enter the kingdom of heaven. They have fruit. Is that what we're saying?
Yes, absolutely. You got to have at least 30-fold. Got to hear me crunch it.
Initially, when you read this, it was in chapter 8, correct? Luke 8.
What's that?
Oh, let me go get to Luke 8. Initially, it was Jesus says, Luke 8:8, other fell into the ground and grew and produced 100 times as much fruit. And he said, these things he called out, he has ears, let him hear. It gave the impression when he said that 100-fold fruit is what enters kingdom. But then you go down farther and he talks about.
Who are you talking about?
Jesus in Luke chapter 8.
Oh.
8:8. He says, said, others fell on the ground and grew and produced 100 times as much fruit. That's a 100-fold Christian, I assume, at that point. So.
What does 100-fold mean? Go ahead, Jim.
I thought about that too, about how the Lord listed the 100-fold first. And I think how I heard it later, somebody else had shared with me too, is that, you know, he gives us the 100-fold fruit right up front. And by faith we are. Because he's already perfected us and he's already sanctified us. He's already given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. We have everything right from the beginning. So I think it's to encourage you to go all the way to desire 100-fold. And even though we grow into that, that's right. He's given it to you. He wants you to see right there. You know, strive for the gold. You know, you want gold. You want gold. You want to reflect his glory as gold. So that's why I think it's listed that way, because I think I think it mentions that in the other ones. It says some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. But I think that's why it's listed that way first.
Yeah, when you come into this knowledge of that you can be, that you are righteous, remember 1 Corinthians 3:18. That was David's, you know, favorite verse. That's when 2 Corinthians, and that's what I said. That's what I said. I know it's what I said. I know I wouldn't make a mistake like that. Anyway, anyway, 2 Corinthians 3:8. Thank you for helping me out there, Missy. I appreciate it. That's when you look in the mirror and you see Jesus. Every day you see Jesus because you're putting the word in. You're believing by faith that God's doing that work in you. And that's what it's all about. It's all by faith. It's the only thing we have to do is believe that God's doing it in us. And keep putting the word in there. Keep putting the word in there, knowing that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Every day is Christ in you. He's manifesting that sun glory every day. I'm going to be shining like a new dime when I get outside, glory to God. You know, people are going to see that glory falling all over you. How many of you have ever had somebody say, "Oh, man, you got a glow about you," you know? I've seen people with that glow on. I saw a woman that got delivered of a bunch of demons. And man, when she got delivered, she looked like a brand new, I'm telling you, she just shone like a sun. She did. I said, "Look at you. Come on, girl. Get up off that floor." Praise God. That was that girl that slid out of that chair. Yeah, let me get Tracy here. She's been waiting patiently. Go ahead, Tracy.
Michael, if you shine anymore, we're all going to need sunglasses, okay?
Praise God.
Well, this is kind of weird, guys. I'm just going to throw it out, okay, and see what you guys think. But something came to me when it comes to the 30, 60, and what we're talking about here. What if it's within callings? And anointings. Now, we're all to evangelize. We're all to do certain things, but some people are just more anointed and called in that area, if you know what I mean. In other words, you know, I can go evangelize the same as somebody that's really anointed and good with people, and they might bring 10 people to the Lord. I might bring one. You know, so what do you think about it being within somebody's calling, you know, that the fruit will be better if you're within your calling? What do you think of that?
Well, I think it could be that too, you know. There's always two or three layers in each parable, you know. So I can believe that, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like sometimes, like I don't know about you guys, but there's areas that I just have to work in. You know what I'm saying? That I really got to try and press in, and then here comes Bob down the road that, you know, it's no problem for him. You know?
Yeah. Well, no, that's true. That's true. I believe that. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, along the lines of what Tracy was talking about, I was reading 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The whole chapter talks about the gifts of the Spirit and how the different individuals are given different gifts. And, you know, and kind of different measure too. So like she was saying, it, you know, we're not all getting the exact same thing. We're getting different qualities through this.
Amen. Well, the callings are one thing. The gifts of the Spirit is something else, man. When you get one of those gifts, you know you got it. You know you got it. You're walking in it. At least that's been my experience in it anyway. And generally, the gifts of the Spirit, of course, the gifts of the Spirit are given out by the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we can generate on our own. And that's a whole new subject there. I like the gifts of the Spirit. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, George, I can barely see your hand if you got your hand up. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
I was thinking about like Tracy was saying, is you can only walk in the light that you, what the Lord gave you. Everybody's fruit is kind of fruit is different. Fruit is your light. Yeah, only we can say the light that you have, you can walk in that. You can't walk in somebody else's light. You have to walk in what you got from the Lord you gave you. Lord gave you. That,
understand? That's absolutely true. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
You know, I think about that too. I have to sometimes I think about the Apostle Paul. You know, we see that he had a lot of grief he had to deal with when he became a Christian, especially because he knew he persecuted the church so hard. He was so such a zealous person and everything he did, he jumped in wholehearted. And so when he became a Christian and was by the Lord's grace, you know, and we know, and I've told this said this before, he didn't become an apostle till like 12 or 13 years later. But when he finally was set loose as an apostle and the Lord called him into that position, the Holy Spirit, you know, he set the world on fire as an apostle. He worked hard at it. And I think a lot of it too is the passion you have in your heart. His passion was he wanted to make this up because he had this desire to bring as many people into the kingdom that they would listen to him, because he felt in his sincere heart that I really want to do something with this because I know what I did, and I'm taking this direction 100% the other way now. Now I'm going to drive hard at this. And he was an intelligent man, but you can see that he knew how to evangelize. He knew how to teach. You see miracles at his hands, but he paid a heavy price too along the way, and that he suffered persecution, but he didn't let that get him down. He kept pushing through it. And at the same time, I think there's gifts the Holy Spirit's going to grant, and you're going to be having these certain areas in your life you're going to be powerful at and be able to do. But at the same time, if you have that drive in your heart, you know, it's there. And if as long as it's not a drive that's self-seeking in any way, you know, and you're trying to promote self, you're really still running after the kingdom and doing things for the kingdom. You know, I think along the way, the Lord's going to, I mean, you see that with John G. Lake. Crying for the Holy Spirit for the ability to heal, just driving hard prayer for it, wailing, and it comes, and the Lord gives it to him. I mean, the desire in the heart's got to be there too for some of these things, and you got to just cry for them, which I think Paul was doing. That was his desire. So it's also in the heart too.
Yeah, go ahead, Leon. I'm sorry, I was muted. You remuted yourself.
Okay. I'm unmuted now?
Yes, sir.
No, I was just going to say to Dave that was his calling. That was Paul's calling. He was called to preach to the Gentiles and to suffer for the name of the Lord, you know, and that was probably John G. Lake's calling too. Mm-hmm. So that's why he was passionate. That's why they were both passionate about what they did.
What seminary did Paul go to?
What cemetery? I don't know.
Well, the word says that the Lord Jesus Christ taught him.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Said the Lord Jesus taught him.
Well, he said he went to Arabia and got great knowledge there, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
So, plus he was gaining knowledge as he went along. You could tell in some of his writings that he's maturing in his in running the race, you know, and some things are simplistic and some things are just so amazing complex. That the things that he comes out with. So,
yeah. Go ahead, Julie.
Just the scripture that was coming to my mind about all that discussion is Colossians in chapter 3, in verse 23 and 24. Whatever your task, work heartily as serving the Lord and not men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. And 25, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Anyhow, so whatever God gives us to do, whatever talent he's given us to do, we're supposed to do it as unto the Lord and not worry about what anyone else is doing. Don't compare yourself to anybody else.
Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, huh? Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hey, Denny, could I get you to close us out with prayer this evening?
Sure. Yeah. Amen. Oh, we thank you, Father, for your word. And, Lord, it's so rich. And it ministers to us. And thank you for all the brethren being able to share what the Lord gives them, what's on their hearts. And we surely appreciate it, Lord. And thank you, God. Thank you, God, for these conference calls. And, Lord, we trust you that all the prayers that we prayed earlier and Michael prayer, and we all joined in with it, they are going to be heard and they are answered. We thank you for it. We have what we believe because we have it. And we thank you for it, God. We thank you for that. And we just praise you now. Just give everyone a good night's rest and keep it safe. Bless each one's family, Lord. Bless Bruce for that healing. We thank you for that healing for Bruce. In the name of Jesus and others who have prayed for healings. And we just thank you, God. We praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, good night, saints. God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you all.
Listen, what do y'all want to talk about? Let's see. First today.
Thursday.
Okay, next Tuesday. How about the promises?
Amen.
Let's talk about the promises.
Amen.
I had somebody email me today and wanted to talk about it. I wanted us to talk about it. So we'll talk about the promises Tuesday night. Next Thursday night, we're going to have worship, praise and worship. Okay.
Amen.
Good night, y'all. Praise God.
All right, God bless. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Rachel.